Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in to Real Dudes Podcast. Before we started this episode, I wanted to give a huge shout-out to our sponsor, a company from Sweden called Studio. Studio inspires to bridge the gap between style and tech when it comes to all of their headphones. For the past few weeks, I have been using their wireless on-ear headphones called the Regent, and have become an even bigger fan than before. Sound quality is great, from things for podcasts and tutorials to your favorite indie video games. So after this episode, head on over to their website, www.studio.com, look at their full lineup, and don't forget to use code RDP for 15% off your order.
This week on Real Dudes Podcast, we discuss the game Surviving Mars. Can people actually live on the red planet? After that, we get into some indie gaming news and then discuss some off-topic stuff such as our favorite Toys R Us memory, and also, will Nintendo keep the hype train going for the Switch sales? All that and more on this episode of Real Dudes Podcast. Welcome to Real Dudes Podcast. My name is Kyle. And as always, I've got my three trusty co-hosts just surrounding my imaginary table. To my left, I've got Cody.
Hidey-ho.
And sitting on his head is Andrew. And then there's Carrington.
Hey, hey, hey. For the record, though, I couldn't hear anything, so did
Yeah, I totally
did
lagged.
We introduce Andrew?
Yeah, we skipped Andrew.
I don't think we introduced Andrew.
Okay. I wasn't sure if he was just, you know, kind of just ignoring what I said. Okay. So, yeah, Andrew is here with us as well.
Indeed. The cake is a lie.
You sound awake.
I am. So yeah. Awake.
You sound litty.
Might have had like a small thing to do with a few people who shall remain nameless, who may or may not have kept me up to like 3:30. I take partial responsibility, but I do not take full responsibility.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I don't know what you're talking about. I was in bed by a measly 3:29.
Yeah, well, no, you were somewhat to blame, and then you know, Carrington bears a fair bit of blame, but I have to lay the majority of the blame for this, in a combination of myself and Phil. I mean, let's be honest here. I have to lay that at his feet. That guy is too much fun to play with. And then when you get going, you can't stop, man. Yeah. It's like a bag of potato chips, and it's amazing. And you know, you're slowly ruining your life, but you don't care, you know?
Can't stop, addicted to the shindig.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Okay, Carrington, you're done.
So this episode, we are planning on talking about our favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers songs and then our love for Phil.
Yep.
That's it.
Done.
So I think we've already talked about our love for Phil. I think this is love for Phil part two.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I think you actually kind of just did the teaser for that, Carrington. Now we're ready for the real deal.
In preparation for the love for Phil episode.
Heyo.
Spoiler. So yeah.
Anyway,
we've got a pretty good show for everyone here. We got our hands on a game called Surviving Mars by Paradox Interactive, and I'm going to butcher this name. I think it's Hey Mamont Games. And after we talk about that, we've got some new nindies that were just announced. About a week or so ago, and then our off-topic discussions. The Switch sales are continuing to go. How long is this going to last? How long do we think it will last? Will we see the games that were promised this year? An example, Metroid Prime 4 and Smash. What Well, I'll keep that question once we get there. And then our favorite Toys R Us memories. I've got a couple. I'm sure you all have a couple. And
I have a few.
We're going to, you know, just kind of just talk about it and reminisce about our, you know, favorite Toys R Us memories, because sadly, everyone, the stores are closing.
Oh, it makes me sad.
So, yeah. Guys, I'm looking at the show notes here, and the first thing that I see is tease Kyle about not getting a Shamrock Shake.
Ayo, because technically today's April 1st, so Shamrock Shakes are not available anymore.
Hey, let me tell you this. I don't know if they were ever available.
It's a myth.
McDonald's has let me down so bad. But I did get a shake of some sort.
What?
And it's very special. And I got it with actually old RDP member Caleb today.
Ayo.
April 1st, I got it. So by the end of the episode, I'll let you guys know what it was. I'll give you some hints, maybe. It may have had some crunchy stuff in it. It might have had a little spice to it. It may have been one of the most delicious milkshakes I've ever had.
Ooh.
Sriracha chocolate chip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dang, yeah, Cody, stop like. Spoiling stuff. So, yeah.
At least I didn't get your Lucky Charms.
Andrew?
We'll find out.
Andrew, I hate you.
That's all I'm here for, man. As long as you can tell me that, like, that's all I was looking to accomplish tonight. So thank you.
Oh, yeah. All right. So it's pretty late, so let's dive into this. The game that I've been playing, unfortunately, not as much as I would have liked to, but I did put some good time into it over the last couple weeks, was Surviving Mars by Paradox Interactive and Haymomont Games. So I was looking at games to be released soon, and I saw this one. Basically, you are trying to build the first colony on Mars. Once I saw that, I immediately, contacted the developer, and I wanted to get my hands on it. And nice enough, they sent me a code to play and review it, and I cannot thank them enough because I had a lot of fun playing this. I can't say I'm not a huge SimCity fan, but I never really put time into it in the past, and I know Carrington probably feels otherwise.
Yes, I do.
I've heard him talk many things about SimCity, but this game is similar to SimCity, other than the fact that, you know, you're not on Earth, you're on Mars, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't really want to go into this with the negatives first, but it was a difficult game getting started. And I think to a lot of people, that'll be frustrating to them and possibly could cause them to quit. But my word of advice is push through it, get through that learning curve, and eventually the game will unfold to you and you will just fall in love with it. There's not really like a whole lot of story to it. It starts you out on a 10x10 grid on Mars, and you can select anywhere on the planet. You rotate the planet and find a place. There's different terrains that you can land on. If you want a more difficult area where there's not a lot of flat ground, you can go there. An area maybe where meteors will strike more, or where dust devils are more prominent. So there's a lot of ways to adjust the challenge in the game. For me, the first place that I picked was completely flat with minimum storms and meteors trying to hit, just so I could, you know, get through the learning curve of the game. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm trying to think of like just different things that happened during my playthrough.
I got a chance to play it.
Okay.
For quite a few hours. So I was actually kind of disappointed.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
So here's the thing. You know, you mentioned that, you know, I have a a huge love for SimCity and city building type games. And the developer, Haymomont Games, actually developed partially one of my favorite franchises, Tropico, which you are a dictator and you take care of a tropical island like you would. Basically take Surviving Mars, but instead of in space, it's a tropical island. And Haymomont Games did Tropico 3, 4, and 5. So going into this, I'm like, oh, great. I'm excited. I love the Tropico franchise and the series, especially, I think, me personally, Tropico 3 is the best out of the series. And so I'm like, I was really excited, and I was going into it. I was disappointed in the fact that for a city-building game, the UI is awful. It's a city building game. Having the UI is very important, you know, having like stats fed to you, whether it be, you know, materials, money, just something, anything, and then it gives you nothing. And I'm like, I just kind of pushed through it. It does have a steep learning curve, and the game itself is fun, but I was still disappointed in it.
See, I was wondering, because like, I haven't played a whole lot of games within that genre. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, for someone like you who's more experienced at it, what your thoughts were. I agree with you. I think the UI would have been a lot better, or it could have been done a lot better. And mm-hmm. it would have made, like, keeping track of resources and stuff a lot easier. And then the fact, you know, it's difficult for me to say, like, this game was hard and I didn't like it. But the fact that, you know, starting out, there are hardly any hints. I mean, there's hints at the top of the screen, but it doesn't tell you, like, oh, put this here and here, and then mm-hmm. you can start this. Even in easy mode, I started in normal mode, and I thought, well, let's do easy mode. There's still not a whole lot of hints to help you get started and just understand the whole system itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is very clunky, especially on a controller.
Yeah. And so you played on Xbox?
Yeah, I did. Okay. And another issue I had, like, there were times where the drones, because they're the ones that do everything for you, whether it be building things, gathering resources, organizing resources, all that stuff. There would be times where they were, like, not moving. And I'm like, well, what the heck? Why aren't they doing anything?
Yeah.
And it was just for various reasons, you know. Either they ran out of power.
Not near the commanding station.
Yeah, not near the commanding station. Just things like that. And I'm just like, I wish I would know. Like, something would tell me, like, hey, these guys aren't operating at full capacity. And it's just something you have to, like, keep an eye on it and keep aware while you're trying to build this base in space.
Yeah.
I did find it, although I will say, as tough as the learning curve was, I did find once you got humans on there, the game became much easier, and it's very easy to keep people happy.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised about, because if you've ever played Tropico, you know how hard it is to try and stay in power and keep your people happy.
Yeah. I was reading about the game on some other websites, and I thought it was funny, because once you start getting people on there, that's when casualties start coming into play, and like, and you could wipe out your whole colony just with a meteor storm or a building malfunctioning or something. This guy said that he had a pipeline bust, and the people within his dome, I guess it was an oxygen pipeline, lost oxygen, and he had 58 people die.
Oh my gosh.
through that malfunction there. So, I mean, that whole part of the game I love. I felt stressed when a meteor struck a building and I needed to get it fixed immediately. It is a true survival game at heart, yet it's also like a city building game at heart. And mm-hmm. I found that appealing. And the fact that it wasn't done on Earth, it's done on Mars, and you're the first person on Mars, the mm-hmm. first group of people on Mars to colonize and start building. It's so cool. And I really do appreciate that about the game. The music and stuff in the game was good.
The music's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. And then the graphics itself was, I mean, it was good. The game is a good looking game. I'm trying to see.
The fact you can zoom all the way in, I thought was awesome, because the level of detail on the models was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, this is what I wanted to mention. Colonists have personalities, like traits.
Yep.
Which I thought was really cool. Like, you can have, alcoholics out there.
I had my second playthrough. I forgot to give them jobs. Mm-hmm. So some people had jobs, but not everyone did. And one of the guys ended up developing an alcoholic problem because he didn't have a job.
Did you like keep an eye on him every day just to see what his daily routine was?
I didn't because I was stressed about something else. But I just thought it was funny because the alert came up. Like, one of your civilians developed alcoholism. I'm like, what? Like, oh wait, they need jobs.
You know, it'd be funny to start a daily blog on
that's important
on a surviving Mars colonist that becomes an alcoholic or lazy, and just like log their every daily activity that they do.
That would be awesome.
But yeah, I appreciate that about the game because there are. You know, there's other games out there that are like this that aren't doing that. That aren't giving you, like, just traits of people and seeing how they develop. Because they could have just kept this as just a simple building game and not bring in the aspect of each individual person that's within that city.
And I did like the fact that when you're basically trying to... When you get that first set of humans actually on the colony, because it takes a while for you to get your first set of humans on the colony... you can choose the age range of the colonists, and all of them have pros and cons, which I thought was interesting too. So you can have youths, basically adults, and then middle-aged people, and then elderly people, and they all have their own set of abilities and stuff.
Do an elderly retirement colony.
What's that?
So start the first retirement colony on Mars.
Yeah.
Just send all the old people out.
Just send all the old people to Mars.
What are the pros for having old workers?
Hey man, experience
in your colony. Yeah,
experience and wisdom.
Some old people are the hardest workers out there, man. And some of them aren't.
Not to be that guy, but wouldn't their like lifespan be kind of short? So you'd have to get new people in shortly.
They are pretty cheap, though. I'm just saying.
Oh man!
So now we know which one was running the slumlord colony.
Yeah. So I think that's another group of people that probably will be pushed away from the podcast. I don't think there's probably a whole lot, but you know, just saying that old people are
cheap. Always alienating our fans.
Yeah.
One group at a time.
We're losing the gray group. I'm just saying. Way to go.
So that leaves us youths, and that's about it.
That's about it. Yep.
Youths.
Yep.
Hello, all the youths in the world.
Yeah, and middle-aged chefs.
Carrington, I'm just saying, if your ability to do this is anything like your ability to call a game and then have it go the other way, we are screwed.
Well, you know.
I'm just saying, guys, for the record, you know, the situation, I guess, shall remain nameless, but there's a certain game we play with Carrington. And anytime he calls us having a win, we always lose. It's a guaranteed fact. The dude is like a prophet, except in reverse. He's like the worst one ever. Whatever he predicts, it will be the exact opposite.
The reverse. That's why you quit when he...
real quick, I tried looking it up and I didn't see anything. Did you run into any alien life form? Like, I don't know if that's in the game at all or...
I did not run into any life forms whatsoever. Okay. So I don't know if it's in the game or not, but I haven't seen any.
I was curious if there was any kind of like UFOs or anything. But I mean the game doesn't go for like that unreal. I mean, it's pretty realistic as far as if people were to land on Mars.
I am kind of surprised though because the like Tropico, like I said, I'm a big fan of Tropico. There's a ton of let's just say those games don't take themselves seriously.
Yeah.
So I was surprised of the lack of comedy in Surviving Mars.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely stuck to a more serious note.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's about it as far as Surviving Mars goes. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to this?
No.
Okay. So, you know, thinking about it over the last couple of weeks, like I said, I've been working midnights and evenings, so playing games has been kind of on the back burner the last couple of weeks, and I wish I could have spent more time on this, but with the time that I did get with it, I had a pretty good chunk of time in it. I think I'm going to give this game right around a 7. You know, if you can get past that initial learning curve, you'll have fun, especially if you enjoy those type of city building games. But Carrington, what about you? Are you thinking of maybe a different number from your experience with it?
I'd have to give it a 5.
Okay, fair enough.
So, like I said, I'm a huge fan of the Tropico series, so I had high expectations going in, and it did not meet them, unfortunately.
Okay.
But the game is gorgeous. Once you get past a certain point when you're building a colony, it has become a lot more fun. But it's also a game I would not recommend to very many people.
Okay. Which that's good to know, because like if people aren't, you know, if they have that love for Tropico, then this might be something that they'd not enjoy as much.
Indeed.
Yeah. But yeah. So I think that's it for Surviving Mars. I would give a spoil to the game that we're playing next, but I still don't have any idea what we're playing. So maybe check out on Twitter and stuff once we figure out what we're doing.
I know Cody is playing a game right now with a friend, but are we covering that in the next episode?
If we finish it,
okay. Possibly. So we'll see. That's on the back burner. We'll see.
So yeah, we will. We'll end up tweeting it out or posting on Facebook what we're gonna be covering on the next episode. Before we get into our break, Carrington, do you have something for our listeners?
I do. I'm actually have these fantastic headphones from Studio. They are the Regent style headphones. They are on-ear headphones. They are fantastic. And actually, they're also our sponsor for this episode, Studio. That's Studio with an S-U-D-I-O. They were kind enough to send us out a pair of headphones, which we've gotten to try out. And guys, these are some fantastic headphones. We think they're great. Studio thinks they're great. And for you to know that they're great, you can get your own pair. Just head on over to studio.com. That's S-U-D-I-O.com. And you can use the promo code RDP for a fantastic and crisp 15% off. Studio is trying to balance that that style of when it comes to on-ear headphones to have, you know, be stylish and amazing at the same time, and I have to say they pull it off. You can get your own headphones. If all you gotta do is head over to studio.com, S-U-D-I-O.com, and use that promo code RDP for that fantastic 15% off. Go stop this episode right now. Get yourself a pair.
Let's take a break. Boink, 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 boink.
What's up, everybody? I'm Tyler.
I'm Lucas.
And I'm Chris.
And we're Better Than Static. We meet up once a week and talk about movies, comics, and video games.
I don't want to talk about that.
What? Why are you complaining about all the topics I bring up? I'm trying to sound professional, Chris.
But we're not that good.
We are too good.
We may not be great, but we are Better Than Static.
You guys can hit up iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and YouTube to check us out.
Do you like to rage quit? Sometimes we all do. Do you like to take a sledgehammer and smash it right over your phone? Or do you like to take your phone and throw it right into your TV? How about do you like to take your phone and throw it into a fire? Yeah. We all like to rage quit sometimes, but thankfully, there's OtterBox. OtterBox offers a range of cases that fit every taste and lifestyle. Their cases use patented technology that provides superior protection for smartphones. With their innovative engineering group, dozens of patents, and robust sales and marketing teams, OtterBox is growing and expanding and plans to continue this trend. So, before you buy a phone accessory, make sure you check out OtterBox, and you can do that by going to realdudespodcast.com/affiliates and clicking right on that OtterBox link.
We here at Real Dudes want to give a huge shout out to Guitaro Man for letting us use his music on this episode. You can find more of his music on SoundCloud, and be sure to give him a follow on Twitter at IAmGuitaroMan. That is GitaroMan. Thanks, and let's get back to this episode.
And we are back. Hope you enjoyed those fantastic little ads we have and the elevator music that runs along with them. I know you enjoy them. So we have, unfortunately, a lot of news in a little bit of time. So we're just going to kind of just rush through them. So about a week ago, Nintendo decided to run their Nindies presentation that they do every once in a while. The Nindies is their, like, independent game program that they have, and they call them Nindies. So here is all of the games that were announced in the Nindies presentation. We have Mark of the Ninja Remastered. We have Fantasy Strike and Pool Panic. Bomb Chicken Luminous Remastered, which is a classic, which you haven't already played. But if you've never played it, you have the chance to play it now on the Switch. Lightfall, Pwned, The Messenger, Bad North, and I skipped one on purpose because this is the one I look forward to the most, my boys. West of Loathing is coming to the Switch. When I saw this, I did one of my infamous screams in my apartment because I am so excited for this to come to the Switch. Like, no joke. This game is fantastic if you guys have never played it. It's a 2D RPG-ish. If you guys know nothing about West of Loathing, the makers made a game back in the day called Kingdom of Loathing. The game themselves does not take themselves seriously in the least bit. The most craziest thing happened, and on purpose, it looks like crap. I mean, your characters are stick people.
I was going to say, like, so literally. Is it a slapstick comedy?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And the comedy in it is so well written, and it's so fantastic. West of Loathing is just, it's so good. And the opportunity to play it again on the Switch, I cannot wait.
Yeah, I was looking at it. It looks like a really fun game. Definitely real simple art style to it, mm-hmm. With it being black and white with stick figures. And it's like a Western, like a Wild Wild West.
A Wild Wild West, yep,
yeah. Not like a Western RPG, but like, yeah.
West of Loathing. Oh, yeah. So I'm so pumped right now. Like, if you guys have not played this, like, for real. Okay, so it has a 10 out of 10 on Steam. Like, it's not easy to appease the Steam crowd, but the last game that got a 10 on a Switch or on Steam, guys, was Doki Doki Literature Club.
Yeah, yep. Remember that.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I never checked on that part.
Which is awesome, because that is a free game that you can go out and play now.
And yeah, we talked about it, so you can just go back a couple episodes and listen to it, because we had a fun time.
After you play it for yourself, because we spoil it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's a good idea.
No other. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I agree. But yeah, yeah, West of Loathing coming to the Switch. I'm excited. So just keep an eye out.
Looking forward to that. And then I also looked up Bad North. It looks pretty cool, especially if you're into Vikings. It's a tactical game where you are kind of running around with a group of your Vikings after the king is dead. Your king is dead. It looks like a real-time strategy slash tactical roguelite game. And it kind of gives me little vibes of Age of Empires, just the way that the camera and the art style is. Some of the art, it's a little more soft, like the colors and the landscape and stuff. But out of those, I thought Bad North looked really, really interesting to me, at least. And I'm hoping it comes out soon for Switch. I don't know when any of these games are coming out. Do you?
I don't. Okay.
They were just on not,
there wasn't really release dates for them. Just sometime this year.
Okay. Yeah. So sweet. Man, this Switch is literally just popping games out left and right.
I know, and then people still want to argue with me. The Switch has new games. That is a garbage argument.
Right.
Garbage argument.
Right. I completely agree. And even the fact that a lot of them are ports or from other consoles, I think it's great for the Nintendo crowd, those that are diehard fans that haven't really had a chance to play these type of games. To get their hands on them. And it's good for the indie developers because they're getting more sales off this.
Yeah, and getting more support. It's a continuing trend for indie games on the Switch that just knock it out the park each and every time there's a new release.
Yeah. So, talking about the Switch, I think, I'm guessing it was you, Carrington, that brought this question up, or one of you guys. Do you think that the Switch is going to continue getting the love that it's been getting over the last year? And do you think that this, you know, people are going to still buy Switches and this trend is going to continue to last?
I've done a lot of talking, so I'll pass that on to our other co-hosts who were not able to participate as much during the Surviving Mars segment.
I'm not a Nintendo fan that much, so I don't know. I hope it does well, but not in my house, I guess.
I hope it does well, but not in my house. That has got to be the quote for the episode.
There will be no challenge today.
Wow. Andrew, how do you feel about the sales going on with the Switch? Like, do you think that this is Nintendo's, I guess, most successful, you know, console in the last decade?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, it's definitely, I mean, the Wii, I think it's pretty much the Wii again, as far as not obviously the type of console, and you know, it's definitely its own animal in that regard, but it's been very successful. I think it'll continue to be successful. I mean, I see no reason why it's going to stop. I think that's the problem with Nintendo. They're so boom or bust. Like, you know that, you know, Xbox and PlayStation, they're gonna crank out solid, you know, technically sound systems each and every time that are going to be bigger and bigger, badder and better than the previous one, but you still pretty much know what you're getting, and that's good in a lot of ways. You know, it's kind of like, kind of equate it to like a chain restaurant. You know, you don't actually go to the chain restaurant because it's always going to be the best, the most innovative food in the world. Mm-hmm. You go there because, you know, you're going to have some semblance of what you're going to get before you even walk through the door. Yeah. And that's kind of your Xbox and your PlayStation. And, Nintendo, I think, even though in some ways they're more childish and kid-friendly, I think they also push the envelope at least as often, if not more often, than the others, and take some risks that kind of puts them in a different category. And I think they, you know, sometimes they swing and miss, and sometimes they get a good solid hit. And I think the Switch is, I think it's got staying power. I do. I think it, and it's not stupidly expensive either, no, as consoles go. So I think you'll see it have strong sales for years to come, and that's just one man's opinion, but I could see it for sure.
Yeah, nice. And I think, because when the Wii U was out, it wasn't a bad console in itself, but the marketing for it was awful. And a lot of Nintendo fans who, you know, obviously love Nintendo were saying, you know, Nintendo needs to market their stuff better. They came out marketing for the Switch, it was a home run, and they've continued to be able to keep that trend going as far as marketing is concerned, because the marketing for it is fantastic. People who aren't gamers, or people that are gamers that haven't bought a Nintendo console in a while, they're excited for the Switch because of how the marketing is. And two, I mean, there's people like myself or Jake or you guys, Kyle and Andrew, I'm sure when you show off the Switch in any way, shape, or form, it's a huge hit and people want to play it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also, it's the right console for the right time in history, if you will. And I think that part of the reason why the Wii was so successful is not only did it have some really fun party games, but that, like, the fact that the controller, some kind of, you know, maligned the controller for the Wii, but I also think that the novelty of it sold a lot of consoles. And I think it's because people were just ready for something different. And in this case, I think they were ready for a truly portable console, because that's what it's all about these days. You know, cell phones are more important to people's lives than they've ever been. And, you know, being able to do something that you enjoy on the go that's a little more than a mobile game is capable of, you know, of generating. There you have it. I mean, you have it in the Switch. I mean, just look at us when we went up to Minneapolis a little while back. I mean, we had three Switches in the car. I mean, come on. So what other, you know, real legit console could you just pack up like that and play in the car without any, like, without having a TV and all this inverter and every other crazy, you know, thing set up to make it work without it being, you know, so you don't have to make it a huge production to play AAA games. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, it's right place, right time, just like so many, you know, big successes in history. And And then a comment real quick on the Wii U. I think the biggest reason the Wii U bombed is you can say what you want. You can point out some little technical spec or a specific game that was specifically for that, you know, the Wii U. At the end of the day, it was a Wii with a gamepad. That's all it was. It really wasn't even a new console. And I mean, you can spout the tech specs all you want or whatever, but that's what it was. And so that's why it didn't sell, is because everybody was like, oh, sweet, a new console. And then they looked and like, no, not really. It's just a console with a big accessory. And having said that, like I said, there's some awesome titles for the Wii U. I think it doesn't get enough love because it did have some great games in its library. But I think people just kind of felt cheated as soon as they saw it.
I would argue that it's more like a DS for your TV.
What? The Wii U?
The Wii U. Yeah, okay. The Wii U. Because you're the gamepad more or less acted like the bottom screen on the DS.
Yeah.
Because it was touchscreen and it had extra information and things like that. But that would be the only argument against what you said, Andrew. Other than that, I agree with you.
I was completely turned off since the Wii. I traded my 360 in for a Wii, and I kind of felt cheated. Because I think at the time when I got it, the library for it wasn't really all that appealing to me. I wanted to try something new, and I just felt, you know, I was disappointed in it. So when the Wii U came out, I didn't really have any interest at all in picking it up. And even when the Switch came out, I thought it was innovative, but I wasn't truly snagged by it until I saw, I think it was Carrington's Switch. And once I got my hands on it, I was like, this is the next generation of gaming. It was the real deal, wasn't it? Yeah, it's completely different from anything that we've ever seen. And I think it's slowly latching on to more and more people, and they're seeing it and truly impressed by it as a gaming console.
I think my biggest thing on the Wii, and feel free to chime in here, did you feel that the games for it seemed very childish?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Well, that's its niche.
Yeah, it was its niche. But I will also say that it had some fantastic games on it that weren't AAA titles. And I think that was the issue. Like, if we did this show back when the Wii came out, we would be saying how great the Wii was, because the indie title scene was amazing on the Wii.
Okay.
Well, and I think it was just like, I thought it was smart, because let's face it, Nintendo, ever since, you know, Xbox came onto the scene, and then, you know, PlayStation was kind of already there, but really kind of seemed to redouble its efforts, if you will. They've always had the horsepower and the polish as far as like your big boy games, if you will, for whatever, you know, whatever term you want to apply to it.
Okay.
And I feel like they just, you know, I think it was smart. Like, if there's already two big dogs, you know, out there trying to lead the charge with, you know, having the best graphics and the most storage space and, you know, just the heavy horsepower once again, mm-hmm. Then why would you want to go and do the exact same thing? Like, you're going to want to play to a different audience. And I mean, they still have that. That's the thing. Nintendo has really made a career out of basically taking a handful of great series and just using that as the backbone of their company for like what, the last 30 years or more?
20, 30 years, yeah. Which is a testament, I think, to those games. I mean, Mario, no matter what generation you go to, you can still have fun with a Mario game.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah. It works.
It does work. And I was just going to say too, like, you know, Sony and Microsoft have their own franchises, but it seems like they abandoned them after some years for whatever reason.
Well, and they just don't have, I think something about the childish thing is like, it let's be honest, it appeals to all audiences. Like, yeah, there are some guys out there that are too macho to admit that a quote unquote childish game is a lot of fun and it's really well done. But the vast, vast majority of people at the end of the day, like, that's what's going to be able to appeal to your biggest audience, because your kids are going to be able to enjoy it, the parents are going to enjoy it, and they're going to be happy that their kids aren't being exposed to things that maybe they don't want them to be exposed to. And I mean, people our age, you know, people in their 20s and 30s that don't have kids, or, you know, Kyle accepted, that, you know, you can enjoy them as well. I really think that that's the difference, is that it appeals to every demographic, especially if they're willing to admit it. Maybe they want it in every social circle they run in. But
well, and a lot of those games are appealing to older people because that's what they played as a kid.
Exactly. Well, and they have staying power. I mean, I know we've talked about, you know, the whole debate between Mario and Sonic and all that stuff, but it's just, I don't know, Nintendo just has a knack for creating characters that pretty much, you know, transcend that generational barrier that seems to get a lot of games, you know, that eventually catches up with them. They'll always have their loyal fans from that era, but it doesn't translate beyond usually. And I don't know what magic they bottle to make that happen. If it's, you know, has something to do with the fact that it appeals to all ages and, you know, something for the whole family, so to speak, or if it's just the Japanese magic, I don't know. You tell us, Carrington. You should go. Yeah.
I don't think it's specifically Japanese magic, because look at Sony, you know? Like I said, they have franchises that they've abandoned, like Ratchet and Clank. They tried to revive it recently, but it didn't hit that mark for whatever reason. Sly Cooper, we haven't seen a Sly Cooper game in literally forever for whatever reason, with it being a fantastic series. They've recently revived Crash Bandicoot, which I know isn't technically like Sony's thing. It's a third party developer, but it started on a Sony console.
Yeah,
it started on PlayStation. And you know, there are kids today who probably have no idea who Crash the Bandicoot is, but people our age, of course, we know. But it's just, I just find it interesting that Microsoft and Sony, I know I haven't mentioned any Microsoft mascots either, but they don't really have very many outside of Master Chief.
Microsoft.
No, they don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking Sony.
Yeah. I mean, he's still around. Thank goodness, because Microsoft needs him. But other than that, I mean, I guess Gears of War, I guess, is another mascot of theirs.
Yeah, I could say Gears. And I mean, obviously for Sony, you could talk about Snake from, you know, the Metal Gear Solid series.
Warcraft.
Warcraft. But even then, like those games, like Metal Gear started on the original NES, and then it just eventually went to Super Nintendo, PlayStation.
City.
But even then, like even since then, I mean, Metal Gear Solid has since been on other consoles, and same with Tomb Raider later on in Tomb Raider's lifetime. And even now, I mean, Eidos and Square Enix, who own that franchise, they have a deal with Microsoft now. Even though it's a multi-platform game, they have a deal with Microsoft now. So, I mean,
I agree that I think of the three major players, you know, Xbox, Nintendo, and Sony, they've done the worst about holding on to their stable of exclusive titles, for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their reasoning or their motivations were, but especially Nintendo, and to even, I don't know, there was a time, especially it seems like, when you're just like, man, you almost felt like you were forced to buy an Xbox, because like all of these, any game that was really awesome and exclusive was for Xbox. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for PlayStation. Yeah. And
I can remember the reason why I got my original Xbox was to play Knights of the Old Republic, because it wasn't on any other console. You don't see that as much anymore, where a big name or a big franchise has an exclusive with, you know, a particular console or company. Eventually, it's going to come to the other consoles.
So,
yeah,
here's kind of a question, and going into the games that are supposed to be coming out for Switch to kind of keep the lifetime running. Microsoft has the Xbox One X. Sony has the PS4 Pro. Do you think that Nintendo is going to pump out something like the Nintendo Super Switch?
Yes. Ooh. Yes, I do.
Think the screen will be bigger in size, or do you think that it'll just be pumping more power into the console itself?
I think it'll be both, bigger in size and more powerful, because that's what they did with the 3D. They've done it with just about every handheld console.
Okay.
Like the 3DS. I mean, it's still going now, the 3DS, surprisingly. And that's about an 8-year-old console. And so the logical thing to do would be to improve it.
No, I agree with that. I mean, I couldn't disagree at all. I mean, that seems to kind of be the business model that Sony and Microsoft seem to hope to use going forward. It's just continue to modify and improve the existing system, kind of like an iPhone, you know, format, if you will. So on that, I'm like Carrington. I don't see why they wouldn't follow it. And history really shows us that they kind of are already willing to do that. So why wouldn't they continue if it works?
Yeah. So that could, you know, add to the longevity of the system itself.
And now, I will say too, real quick, that I mean the Switch itself is only a year old, and it's still selling like hotcakes. So I do think it'll probably be a few years before we see that, but I do think it will happen.
as far as this year's concerned, there's been some pretty big titles announced. Now, I know Smash is announced to release this year. Was Metroid announced to release this year as well?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think we'll see those? And if so, well, at least for Smash, at least, I mean, are we going to see a port or are we going to see a remake? Or, I mean, a port or a brand new Smash title?
It's really hard because with their bigger names, Nintendo is known to push them back and delay them. I mean, look at Zelda. Zelda was supposed to come out during the Wii U's lifetime. It was supposed to be a Wii U exclusive, and it kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed. And eventually it was just like, well, you know what? We got this new console, so we'll do both Wii U because we promised it on the Wii U, and it's going to be a launch title on our new system. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's really hard because last year, Nintendo released a game almost every month last year just for the Switch. Because I was talking to someone and I broke it down. Nintendo only missed 2 months.
What do you mean? Like out of the year?
Like out of the year. Yeah, so March was when the Switch came out. It had Zelda. April was Mario Kart 8. May was skipped. June was ARMS. July was, I think, Splatoon 2. Mm-hmm. August, Nintendo helped publish, but it wasn't theirs to develop, but it was Mario and Raving Rabbids. September was something, I can't remember what. October was Mario, November was skipped, and then December was Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Yeah. And the thing of that is, if I remember correctly, they stuck to the release dates with every
game. Yes, they did, which is why I was surprised.
Yeah.
Especially with Mario, because Mario was in the launch trailer for the Switch back in October of 2016 before an announcement came out. The official announcement for Mario didn't come until the following year at some point in 2017. And then, boom, there's Mario without a delay or anything. And it was just as amazing because a lot of people were worried, like, oh, my gosh, it didn't get a delay. We haven't heard anything about it. It's going to get delayed. It's going to get delayed. And then when it came out, it was like, oh, my gosh, what's going to be wrong with Mario? And then when it came out, nothing was wrong with it. It was in the running for Game of the Year.
Yeah.
So I don't know what Nintendo's doing or how they're able to do this. They have some sort of magic going on over there all of a sudden.
No, actually, I think that it's hard to say, you know, if they're going to actually be able to keep their deadlines. But I definitely think that I'm sure they want to have them out, but they definitely should push for it. Cause like you said, when you get this kind of momentum, you know, you don't want to miss out on it. Like they kind of seem to have dodged a bullet about, you know, there was an issue there for a while when they didn't expect the demand. And so they just didn't have the supply. And thankfully people's interest was still for the most part held. And they weren't like, well, this is stupid. You know, I can't seem to even get a console. So, you know, I'll just move on to something else. So I don't think that they want to have too many hiccups like that, especially in the early stages of this console's lifespan.
Yeah.
And I will say our friends within the Crossplay Compatible Network, our friends over at the Controller Throwers, they're watching our stream right now, and they made a comment as well on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
They said that they don't think Smash and Metroid will come out in the same year, but they do think Smash will come out this year.
So I'm hoping Smash is going to be a brand new game. Even though if it is a port with new characters, that would be fantastic, but it would be awesome to see Nintendo pump out a new Smash, and I think that the system itself would benefit even more. As you know, I think it would impress people more that it would be a new game instead of a port.
I do have my theories. I do think this will be a new Smash, and here's why. So based on the trailer, we have the Inklings that are going to be in it, which are brand new characters. Link himself is his Breath of the Wild Link, not the Twilight Princess version, which is in the Smash 4. 2, Bandai Namco developed Smash 4 on the 3DS and Wii U. HAL Laboratories is developing this one. And HAL is actually the original developer of Smash Brothers, going back to the original one and Melee. I'm pretty sure they did Brawl too. So we have a completely different developer developing Smash as well. These are just some theories as to why I think we're getting a new one.
Some good theories. And I hope you're right with those, because like I said, it would be really cool to see them pump out a new Smash. So yeah.
And as far as Smash is concerned, as memory recalls, it's not known to be one that's delayed.
No.
Brawl was delayed. I do remember that, but that's without any research. As far as memory concern goes, I don't think any of the Smash Brothers games were ever delayed except for Brawl.
Well, I hope Nintendo keeps the streak of going of not pushing any of their release dates back.
Agreed.
Because that's impressive and a good move on their part.
Yeah, and like I said, like almost every month last year, they had something come out and they delivered, which is just as surprising. And when I tell people that, or like bring it out to people, they're always surprised. And I'm always surprised whenever I think about it. Nintendo released something almost every month last year. Mm-hmm. That is impressive for them. Especially with the Wii U, because the Wii U only had a handful of Nintendo titles, and we had to wait a long time for each game.
Yeah, and they're going to continue to deliver. So I think that covers everything as far as Switch goes. I think that we're going to continue seeing this trend of people buying the Switches, a Nintendo Switch. And if they keep giving us the AAA titles that they are promising us, you know, this might be one of the greatest systems of all time, at least in my opinion.
I can agree with that. I don't own a PS2, but it might be up there with the PS2.
PS2 was awesome, too. I can verify that.
Yeah, I still got one. I'm pretty sure it still works last time I checked, even.
Nice. We should all get together and play Champions of Norrath.
Let's do it.
Pikachu. So guys, I've got some sad news, and I'm pretty sure a lot of our listeners are aware of this, but Toys R Us is closing their stores.
Why would you bring that up?
I just wanted to bring everybody's moods down, make them feel a little sad, put a little tear in their eye. But
make us feel old.
Oh, gosh.
Don't say that. But yeah, make us feel old. So I thought, or I guess Carrington thought, it would be a good idea for all of us to go through and just kind of talk about our memories at Toys R Us.
Man, and I remember going to Toys R Us was a treat.
Yeah.
And it was always... It was like an adventure to go to Toys R Us, because it was, I mean, when you go, I mean, there are candy stores around. It was like a candy store, but it was toys. I mean, it's better than a candy store.
Oh, yeah. It's way better than a candy store.
I remember and that. And so, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I remember that was the place I would go to get my Game Boy Color games.
And Toys R Us was one of the few ones where you had to, like, grab a slip and hand it to them. When it came to games, I remember... And then they had to go back and find it and give it to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I know, like, when I brought this up, or not when I put this in the notes, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. That's how they used to set things up. And I kind of miss that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also because my mom brought this up, too, to me. Toys R Us was one of the few places you could take a kid to go and try out the bike. Oh. And see how they liked it.
Walmart doesn't like that very much.
No, Walmart doesn't like that very much. But Toys R Us, that's what it was all about. You know, you could play with the toys and stuff and see what you liked. And then if you liked it, you know, of course you get to keep it.
Yeah. For me, I have a lot of memories of going there with my grandma. And it was always like a treat going to stay the night at her house. And you know, it was either Toys R Us or KB Toys. So I have a lot of memories of both those places, but Toys R Us had, like 12-inch, it's either 8 or 12-inch action, figures of like the entire Marvel universe. So every time we go there, I would get a new one to add to my collection, like Iron Man, Wolverine, Spider-Man, Blade, Gambit, and, I had a whole bunch of them, and I wish I still had them. I sold them at a yard sale. Probably about 8 to 10 years ago. but those are memories, because she's passed away now, but those are definitely like some of the best memories that I have of going there and knowing that I'm going to be coming out with a brand new action figure to add to my collection. It's just, I don't know, it's sad to see such an awesome store fading away.
Agreed. And this is my most recent memory of Toys R Us, so therefore it's my favorite because I can remember it the most. I do remember other things, but this one's my most recent memory. I was probably 14 at the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe 13. It was in that range, 13, 14, 15, in that area. I begged my mom, "Mom, I need to go to Toys R Us." She said, "Okay." So we go to Toys R Us, which was by no means close to us. We're talking at least a 45-minute drive to get there. We get there. I was there specifically for a video game because I knew Toys R Us had it. Nobody else had it. And we lived very close to a ton of other places like Meijer and Walmart and stuff like that. But I knew Toys R Us had this game. And from what I heard, this was one of the greater games out there. And I had to see it for myself because one of my favorite shows at the time was Judgment Day, which aired on G4 TV. This was one of the few games that gave a perfect score. I'm like,
so what, Hello Kitty Island Adventure?
Yeah, exactly.
I figured that makes sense.
I go get the game, and it does become one of my favorite games of all time, that game being Beyond Good and Evil. I got it at a Toys R Us, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And I will not forget that.
Hmm. Yeah, man. It's definitely a store that, you know, we all have a special place for in our hearts. Did you Cody or Andrew ever go there very often as kids?
Not often. I know my grandma took me once a year or something.
Mm-hmm.
Got like a Lego set, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I never really went there for anything. Never went there as a teenager or in my adult life, nothing.
I think
the Amazon kind of took over.
Yeah, Amazon definitely. That's sad to think about too.
Yeah.
The last time that I was there, we were with some friends shooting like a mini film of just a bunch of shenanigans. But I've been thinking about, because our store's still open here, thinking about taking Bowie there. Just to take her and to look at toys and stuff. But then also at the same time, I'm thinking like, is that kind of cool? Because, you know, the store is going to close down. I don't know.
I know that there's one like really close to me, and it's definitely closing down. And yeah. I decided to visit it, you know, just to say I went before it closed, and it was really sad.
Was it empty?
No, there was plenty of people in there, and there was plenty of stuff in there at the time.
Okay.
And I picked up some Star Wars exclusive Toys R Us Funko Pops while I was
there. Oh, nice. Did you get a deal on it?
I did. I think it was 10% off, I believe, if I remember right. Not a huge deal, but I mean, I was going to get it regardless if it was on sale or not.
Yeah. Well, I think that just about wraps up our show.
Before we wrap up, Kyle.
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to reveal to us this fantastic shake you got at McDonald's?
I think Andrew kind of almost hit the nail on the head. It wasn't Lucky Charms, but Caleb and I went out to lunch today, and we went to this amazing place called Steak and Shake.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been there in years. They have this lineup of shakes, and they are cereal shakes. And I got Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And although it wasn't a Shamrock Shake, because I never got a Shamrock Shake, because apparently they don't sell them this time of year when they're supposed to sell them. At least none of the McDonald's around my area do. I was thoroughly disappointed. McDonald's, I'm calling you out. And you need to get your act together over here in West Virginia and Southern Ohio. Because Daddy wants a Shamrock Shake.
Oh, Lord.
But yeah, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, or the Cinnamon Shake, or whatever it was really good. It just had chunks of Cinnamon Toast Crunch in it with vanilla ice cream swirled together, and it was delightful. I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and I thoroughly recommend that shake.
Good to know.
You heard it here first. Yep. Kyle's going to be responsible for the downfall of McDonald's. This will be marked as the beginning of the end. Yep. Steak and Shake's full rise to power. Or McDonald's slow descent into destruction.
We talked about how Amazon was the death of Toys R Us. Steak and Shake Shakes will be the death of McDonald's.
You heard it here first, guys.
Oh.
So, yeah. That's it, man. That's all that I have got for this show. I'm guessing you guys don't have anything else to add to it.
Nope.
Just stuttered really bad there.
Nope.
excuse me. I'm ready to close the show. All right. So you guys can check out our show or our store, realdudespodcast.com. We have got shirts there with a lot of quotes from the show, plus just our logo in general, and our wristbands. We want to thank our patrons for supporting the show. You can also go to the website, sign up there to help support us to continue creating amazing content for your ears. And then, let's see here. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, RealDudes_pod, Instagram and Facebook, RealDudesPodcast. And then if you have any questions for us in general, you want us to discuss something on the show, one, you can do what Controller Throwers did. Shout out to them. Hop onto our stream while we are recording the show live, and we will try to bring up your question on the show to talk about. And then secondly, email us or add us on Twitter or message us on Facebook. Your question, our email is podcast@realdudespodcast.com. And that, I think that about wraps it up.
Mm-hmm. And officially, I can say we will not be going to E3 this year.
Yeah, that is sad news. But we did apply. There are some things that we need to, I guess we could say, get our ducks in a row for next year. And we're going to try to reapply for E3 2019.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, yeah. Other than that, we thank you all for listening to the show and your support. Hope you have a rad day.
Bye.
See ya.
Later.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.